This is an audio summary for your AIL 80-102 course. The reading is Prediction Machines, Chapter 13, What's at Stake? By Ajay Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. Let me start with a simple observation about how different companies handle their customer interactions. When Amazon recommends products, Expedia lists travel options, or Netflix suggests movies, there's no prominent button asking if you'd like to speak with a human. But browse Tesla's website for more than 30 seconds, and a chat window pops up offering help. Ask them something complicated, and you'll quickly get transferred from a chatbot to a real person who can help you. That person will also encourage you to test drive a car. This distinction reveals something important about how these companies view the stakes involved in their business. The obvious explanations for this difference don't hold up under scrutiny. Sure, Amazon and Google have massive market share, so customers are less likely to abandon them entirely. But Expedia is also a big player, without guaranteed customer loyalty. Amazon and Google have millions of products to sort through, while Tesla has just a few models. Yet Expedia has comparable complexity when you think about the travel options they present. And in terms of spending, someone buying a $60,000 Tesla over 5 or 6 years is similar to someone spending $10,000 annually on travel. So why does Tesla insert a human into the loop while the others don't? This chapter is about stakes, and the answer is surprisingly elegant. Stakes are the expected losses that arise when there is an error in prediction. Throughout this book, Agrawal, Gans, and Goldfarb have been exploring perfect predictions, but that's actually an unrealistic exercise. The real question is whether imperfect prediction can still help, because there are no perfect predictions at all. Predictions fail by degrees and in different directions. Consider your weather app. It might tell you there's zero chance of rain tomorrow, which is clearly wrong if it rains. Or it might say 10%. If it rains anyway, it's hard to know if the prediction failed or just described a genuine 10% outcome that happened to occur. But here's the critical insight. The consequences of being incorrect depend entirely on what you're doing with that prediction. Planning a bicycle ride? A 10% chance of rain might be worth the risk. Planning whether to hold your wedding reception outside or under a tent? That same 10% error carries enormous weight. The stakes matter. For Tesla, the stakes of getting a customer interaction wrong are genuinely high compared to Amazon. When Amazon fails to recommend what a customer wants, the customer searches again. Even if that particular search doesn't work, they'll likely return for other purchases. But if a Tesla customer doesn't get their questions answered and finds answers elsewhere, or worse, walks into a dealership where an incentivized salesperson makes sure they drive away with keys, Tesla loses that customer entirely. The stakes are fundamentally different. This leads to an important counterintuitive principle. You might think that when stakes are higher, the solution is simply better AI predictions so that errors become invisible. But the authors are saying something more nuanced. When stakes are high, relying wholly on imperfect AI predictions creates additional risks that require complementary investments. This management of risk takes two forms. You can invest in insurance, which counters potentially adverse outcomes, or you can invest in protection, which reduces the likelihood of those outcomes and contains the harm. Let's look at two examples that illustrate the difference between low-stakes and high-stakes prediction. Amazon's recommendations involve what we'd call low-stakes transactions. You search for dog bowls and Amazon recommends a 5-star rated stainless steel option for under $20. Perfect. But then you realize it's enormous for your small Shih Tzu, so you search again and find ceramic bowls, 2 for $13, and you're satisfied. Amazon made a mistake recommending the first bowl. It didn't fit your dog. But the customer who received that recommendation didn't stop shopping there. Even after years of mixed reviews on 10 different products, this person came back repeatedly. The errors didn't devastate the relationship. Now contrast that with Facebook's challenge of removing offensive material from timelines. Facebook's algorithm predicts what content a person wants to see based on their past interactions and their friends' preferences. But when followers post something offensive, the prediction task becomes treacherous. In 2018, Facebook acknowledged it couldn't reliably identify offensive content without substantial error. the company reported that while it took down 21 million pieces of adult content in one quarter and flagged 96% of those through automation, only 7 to 9 pieces per 10,000 views on Facebook violated their standards. For graphic violence, they took down 3.5 million pieces, with 86% flagged by AI, but for hate speech, their technology only flagged 38% of violations. They had to rely on a review team to find the other 62%. Facebook's VP of product development explained it simply. Artificial intelligence, while promising, is still years away from being effective for most bad content because context is so important. I can't reliably determine whether someone is promoting hate or describing something they experience to raise awareness. That's a fundamentally different prediction problem from recommending dog bowls. Here's what makes this high stakes. From a technical perspective, Facebook's false positive rate, flagging content as inappropriate when it's actually fine, was surprisingly good. The issue wasn't poor performance, it was that poor performance wasn't good enough. The consequences of a false positive are much higher than a false negative. Flag inappropriate content and remove it, and you disappoint one user. Allow inappropriate content to be seen, and you upset many users. That imbalance meant Facebook couldn't rely on AI alone. Instead, the company flagged potentially problematic content with a very low bar, catching more acceptable content than actually inappropriate content, and then had humans make the final call. Facebook employed 15,000 content moderators out of their 60,000 total employees. That's a significant portion of the workforce, and by all accounts, it's neither well-paid nor pleasant work. Yet because the thresholds for AI performance are so high, and because adversaries continually work to sidestep AI detection, that human workforce may never become unnecessary. The fundamental principle here is that two AIs can be equally effective in terms of error rates. But because of the stakes involved, they'll be deployed and relied on very differently. When stakes are low, faster and cheaper might be all you need. When stakes are high, you need substantial additional human resources and careful risk management. Spotify offers a compelling example of how understanding context and stakes can transform a system. Early on, Spotify gave people access to almost all the world's music and the tools to build their own playlists. For diehard music fans, this was paradise. For everyone else, it was overwhelming and full of work. Predicting your own tastes, building playlists, and discovering new music takes time and expertise. People rarely exercised that option, instead listening to the same handful of popular artists. Spotify tried to use aficionado playlists as training data for recommendations, but those curated playlists were too personalized. They made sense for the curators, but seemed strange to others. A Christmas song interspersed with heavy metal? That was what Spotify called the WTF problem. When Spotify realized the stakes of poor personalization were too high, users would just abandon the feature. They turned to AI, the playlists became training data rather than the recommendation itself. By analyzing descriptions of songs on the internet, Spotify broke down songs into common elements and used machine learning to predict which songs made sense together. In 2014, Discover Weekly launched, and it became wildly popular. It was personalized, broadened people's musical tastes, and gave users something they couldn't easily get elsewhere. But even this clever solution had limitations. Discover Weekly worked best for people who already had diverse tastes. Most users still had limited discovery. Spotify realized the problem. It was only looking at the music itself. People listen to music in context. You listen differently when you're exercising than when you're relaxing or driving. These contexts aren't easily captured by machine learning, but a person can judge them. So Spotify hired editors who understood context. Those editors identified 700 songs perfect for singing in the car, and the AI ranked those 700 according to each user's taste. Instead of choosing the same 50 songs for everyone, Spotify now delivered 50 songs it assessed you'd want to sing in your car. That combination worked. The stakes of getting personalization wrong were high enough that supplementing AI with human judgment proved essential. This brings us to the relationship between judgment and stakes. When radar was first introduced in World War II, operators faced an impossible task. They could detect aircraft approaching, but how could they distinguish enemy planes from friendly ones or from false signals? There was always a high probability of false alarms or missed detections. How certain did you need to be before you acted? 50-50 odds, 70-30, 80-20. The authors frame this through loss functions, which measure not just prediction accuracy, but the consequences of following that prediction with a specific action. In a self-driving car, engineers must decide how confident the system needs to be that an object is a person before triggering a stop or swerve. The higher that threshold, the fewer false negatives you'll have, fewer people accidentally hit, but the more false positives, meaning the car stops or swerves when it doesn't need to. The stakes determine where to set that threshold. Here's the crucial insight. Judgment, determining what different outcomes are actually worth, comes entirely from humans. While the AI prediction is one component, the decision about stakes depends on human judgment, and therefore it depends on who is making that judgment. For traditional cars, drivers made those judgment calls. They wanted to avoid hitting people and had a strong incentive to make the system work. But we couldn't measure each driver's prediction error to understand the stakes they were actually imposing. For self-driving cars, you need to measure prediction error and explicitly quantify the stakes. You need to make a judgment explicit about how valuable the car is relative to the risk of loss of life. That's an unpleasant and ethically fraught task, which is precisely why we may never fully rid ourselves of the human at the wheel. For radar detection, alerts can be given, but real actions require human sign-off. As the movie War Games reminds us, you don't want decisions based on radar interpretation to be fully automated. The prediction is separate from the decision, and the decision ultimately rests with a person. The choice about whether to fully automate decisions based on an AI prediction depends on how measurable stakes can be. As of the time this book was written, we were still uncertain whether we could achieve the measurability needed to allow cars to drive themselves. And that uncertainty hinges on our ability to quantify judgment, to measure stakes, and to accept the consequences of the choices we make. The real lesson here is that stakes aren't just about numbers or economics. Stakes are about values, what we believe is at stake when a prediction goes wrong, and who gets to decide that question. Amazon doesn't need to answer that question for dog bowls. Tesla does for cars. Facebook does for content moderation. And society does for self-driving cars. Understanding the stakes in your business and being honest about them is as important as building better AI.